Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, boys and girls, and welcome to what we're sure will be our greatest spirit right now.
Hello, and welcome to the Fun to Fortune Entrepreneur Startup Success series on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Jeff Valinsky, and I am the founder of 2B Enterprises. I'm dedicated to helping people escape the 9-to-5, follow their passion, and love their work. I am the founder and co-creator of Javelin Coaching, of Broadway Bodies, the fun way to work out, and a few more ventures, my latest being 2B Studios, a new studio for healing and holistic treatments on 14th Street. We have two studios and three treatment rooms available for rent for your activity, or you can join in some of the people who have been using our space for Reiki and yoga and all kinds of great stuff. Here we are today, every other week. Join us for a conversation with those who created fun businesses and uncovered their fortunes in the process. Usually I'm broadcasting live from New York City, but I am excited to say that I am broadcasting live from Pompano Beach, Florida, wearing just some shorts. It's 82 degrees, and I hope you are somewhere warm or going to get somewhere warm and get some of that beautiful vitamin A from the sun. 2014 is starting off with a bang. Very excited about all the guest entrepreneurs we are going to have on the show. Last week, we looked down memory lane at some of the highlights and things that we have brought to you in 2014, all different businesses, from food businesses to service businesses to people working full-time and starting jobs on the side, from people taking the plunge and creating all kinds of wonderful companies. This is the year for you to make things happen. So after you're done listening to our guests, I want you to take some action. Last week, we talked about letting your inner entrepreneur out. So before planning your business or thinking about it, do a life plan. That's what we talked about last night, how to do your life plan. So your life plan coordinates exactly with your business plan. One of the things that I set out to do is to be able to work from anywhere so that when it is freezing cold somewhere and you want to be somewhere else, you're able to just go ahead and do that, be flexible. I'm also setting up meetings this week with people to establish some license agreements down here in Florida. So plan your life. What do you like to do? I like to run in the morning, do a little swim, and then start my day, and I was able to do that. So plan your life and plan your business. They should not be independent. Listen to my show last week on that, and you'll get a good old glimpse. If you missed some of it, no worries. Just email me at jvalinsky, that's jvalinsky, V as in Victor, I-L-E-N-S-K-Y, @gmail.com. I'll send you some questions, some exercises for you to do that life plan. So I am extremely, extremely excited to kick off Fit Business February. What is Fit Business February? Well, you know, everyone's New Year's resolution, the number one New Year's resolution is to get in shape, get back to the gym, and begin eating healthy and getting back into all those habits you may have sort of run out of air on, just like that, run out of air. So, but what if you want to start a fitness business? Ever hear of Zumba? Wow. You know the Zumba story? That's an amazing story about how he happened upon Zumba. You cannot be alive today and not hear about Zumba. Well, there's all those Zumbas out there, and then there's a lot of one-offs, a lot of things that never see the light of day. And then there's sort of combinations in between. I started with my co-founder, Stephen Brodebeck, Broadway Bodies, and I'll talk about that a little later. But today I'm very excited to be launching Fitness Business February at the end of the month and kicking it off with someone who is brilliant and funny and charming and website just reeks of personality and all kinds of fun stuff. His name is Mark Fisher, so I'll get into that. And he started Mark Fisher Fitness. So he's going to share with us his story today about how he got started and what his business is all about. If you have a fitness business or you are interested in starting a fitness business or exercise or you have a method, there's all kinds of methods out there. I just learned of a new one the other day called the melt method. I don't know what you do, but I guess it's if you're frozen, it's a way to melt. No, I have a feeling it's about melting pounds and melting things away, like things that get in your way. So I am inspired by people who are doing all kinds of fun businesses. They're doing wonderful, very cool things, having fun and creating wealth and abundance for themselves and for others, doing great work, sharing their business, their inspiration, their roadblocks, and their obstacles. I am inspired by the Master of Living quote. I will read you the Master of Living quote. I'll tell you what that is now. And you'll be able to check that out. So the Master of the Art of Living makes little distinction between work and play, his labor and his leisure, his mind and his body, his information and his recreation. He hardly knows which is which. He simply pursues his vision of excellence at whatever he does, leaving others to decide whether he is working or playing. To him, he is always doing both. So the Master of Living basically has it all. His work is his play. His passion is his pleasure. He believes in what he's doing, and he's motivated every day to get up for work. That is what we all strive for in our work and our play. So please take note of that when we're talking to our fitness business creators. I am going to give you a little bit of a background of some of the people in the fitness business who have really created some cool stuff. Some of them will be on the show, but if you haven't seen them or if you have recommendations of other people for me to talk to. But some of the things in New York that are central, the folks who started SoulCycle and Flywheel are really taken off on a niche business in spinning and charging premium rates for something that really differentiates them. Then you've got all kinds of boot camps, and not all boot camps are created equally, but one of the ones that stands out is Barry's Boot Camp in New York, and he has done really well with opening that all across the country, and hopefully we're going to have Barry on here in a couple of weeks. A yoga studio that's really sort of found its name is Laughing Lotus. Laughing Lotus is in the Chelsea area on 6th Avenue and keeps expanding. The classes are packed, and they have a really great attitude and flair and personality to their classes. God, the list goes on and on. There's a company out there called Classtivity, which we work with. Classtivity is now changing its name to ClassPass, and that's basically what it is. You sign up for $99. You get 10 classes to all these different classes in the city. Broadway Body is my company. It's part of that, and it's a really interesting model. They're an aggregator, so they work with the people are looking to take classes, and they also work with suppliers. So you get to try all different classes. You don't get to try more than 3 at a time, which is a great 3 a pop a month. Anyway, so great thing called classtivity.com, changing their name to classpass.com. I've gotten to try a lot of different classes through that, and it's a really great business model, win-win for everyone. So today we are going to speak with Mark Fisher of Mark Fisher Fitness. I encourage you to go check out his website called markfisherfitness.com and read about him and read about his what he has to offer, because Mark has a really, really unique take. It is not for the typical gym goer, not for the super hardcore extreme. And what I love about Mark's approach is that it's over-the-top fun. So you can have a workout, be serious about your routine, be serious about your fitness, but enjoy it. They don't take themselves seriously, but they do apply the most progressive training and nutrition strategies. And it's a fun, nurturing, and inclusive environment. They love to be silly, yet they take their fitness goals very seriously. What I love about Mark's brand and his personality is that it's all over his website. So if you take a look at Mark Fisher's website, you'll just see that that just sort of reeks of personality, reeks of fun. His story is fun. His team is fun. His concept is fun. And yet when you look at the results of people who have worked with Mark, it's serious. They've shed lots of pounds. It's about growth. It's about transformation. It's about, as he likes to call, becoming a ninja. So I believe that Mark is actually now on the line. So I'm going to make his microphone live, and let's go right to Mark Fisher of Mark Fisher Fitness.
Hello.
Hey, Mark.
Hi. Oh, you can hear
me.
Good
morning. How are you?
I'm very well.
I think I can hear you pretty well. We'll find out.
Good.
How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Where are you at today? Where are we catching you?
You're actually at the MFF World Domination Headquarters, which is our sort of office space, which I actually have the luxury of living in, which is really cool.
Excellent. Now, is that different from the clubhouse?
It's actually in the same building as the clubhouse, but my business partner and I in MFF's offices are actually on the third floor of the same building.
Good, good, good. All right. Well, the reason I mention that is because, you know, as I peruse through your site and read over it again, I've been there many times. There's just so many provocative and invoking words like clubhouse and ninja and things like, ooh, that sounds really exciting. You know, it's not sort of the standard, you know, our exercise room is on the second floor. Anyway, we'll get to that. Let's introduce our listeners to you. What your company is and what your brand tagline is, and then we'll jump into all the fun and fortune and good stuff.
Yeah. Hi, listeners. My name is Mark, and I run and own a gym called Mark Fisher Fitness. We're a boutique fitness facility located in Midtown Manhattan. And what else can I tell them?
So what's your – I don't want to give away your tagline, but you can go
tagline,
to your website.
Yeah.
What's your one-sentence description about who you guys are and what you're about?
Yeah, we have the one-sentence tagline, ridiculous humans, serious fitness.
Love it. What does it mean? Tell me more.
So basically, ridiculous humans, serious fitness, I think, sort of sums up our brand in that we pride ourselves – on combining very progressive strength and conditioning practices with having a lot of fun and being a ridiculous human, which can mean all sorts of things from, you know, using lots of sort of rainbows and glitter and disco balls in the clubhouse to having spontaneous dance parties in the middle of the class for no reason that we just, like, felt like it. We don't wear pants some days if that just doesn't feel like something we want to do in our heart. We talk about unicorns and ninjas and dragons. And we also see a lot more blue collar and risque stuff, which I'll leave off the call for now just because I don't want to offend any of our readers or listeners, in case they have kids listening. I want to be respectful. But, yeah, it's an outrageous place.
I love it. I love the concept of your business and your brand, because when I started Broadway Bodies, one of the our logo or brand or tagline is the fun way to work out, which is more general. But it's really like you can have a workout and have a lot of fun, but be serious about it too. And you guys take things seriously. So I love how you've captured that, and I love how you've taken it, like, you know, to the extreme, but a good extreme. So, like, it's outrageous fun. You do things outrageous that people aren't going to expect. And not for the sake of shock value, but for the sake of, like, hey, let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy while we're getting in shape. I don't know. Say
yeah,
more about
totally.
That.
Yeah, and I think, I think for us it's important to make people, like, laugh and make people not feel like in their traditional gym rut, because we particularly cater to people that hate working out. So that's sort of our wheelbarrow, really. Whenever anyone I'm talking with and they're like, oh, I hate working out, I hate gyms, I'll be like, perfect, I work out in a clubhouse, let me show you my place. So because of that, we try to keep it as, like, not traditional fitness as possible, and we sort of, like, trick them to, take the medicine with the sugar of, like, being fun or ridiculous, and really just try to free people from a lot of their traditional associations with the gym, which I know for a lot of people, and, you know, quite frankly, myself included, are associations with things like, you know, getting picked last for the sports team and not thinking yourself as an athlete or maybe having some body image issues. So because it's so scary for that type of person to come into a gym environment, we try to just, like, dazzle them with, like, fun and glitter and rainbows and really, really, like, positive attitudes and a sort of aggressive kindness that forces them to sort of just know that, you know, they're going to be taken care of no matter what they got going on. They could be nervous, but we're just going to love them and have fun.
Yeah, it's great. Everything you're saying is a really wonderful thing for people, because it's not a place just to get muscles, but underlying it, all the issues that you sort of mentioned, is a place for growth, a place for transformation, both of those, either or, and then just really like a place to sort of enhance your mind and body and feel good about yourself and work through issues as opposed to, yeah, so it's sort of like, so you don't market yourself as a place for transformation, but I'm sure a lot of that has happened there.
It's so true. I think, another thing I always say kind of internally is that ninjas come for the six-packs, but they stay to cope with the anxieties of modernity. I think all are drawn to us, and we're aware of that. It's done in a, you know, self-aware manner that we will market the fun, the outrageousness, and the health and hotness. And, you know, we're a little cheeky, and, you know, we cater to the clientele that, you know, oftentimes is coming in mainly for aesthetics, right? So we don't train a lot of, like, NBA players in the clubhouse. But I think that what keeps people sticking around is once they get here is the fact that it is a community and it really is a safe space. And all of our service offerings are really built on this sort of foundation of just kindness and authenticity and a place for people to grow, not only hopefully physically, but a place where people sort of, you know, work on their stuff. And because of that, you know, we, as I know you know, several members of our team are life coaches. We offer a lot of workshops along those lines. And a lot of those sort of life coach principles really permeate everything we do here at the clubhouse.
Love it. I really love how you've merged the two and really sort of taken it. It's a really great concept. And I'm very into mega trends and, you know, where things are sort of going. And I think you guys are on, like, the cutting edge of where gyms and fitness facilities and places really need to be to stay competitive, and really not even stay competitive, to answer what the market needs. So, you know, kudos to you guys for sort of really putting it out there and creating this model.
Yeah, I could agree with you more, Jeff. It's so the next step, I think, for the fitness industry, because at the end of the day, you know, as serious as we are about the fitness element, and I really will put, you know, a lot of my team up against, like, some of the best trainers in this country, we all know at the end of the day, if you can't create behavioral change, if you can't create, you know, a space for someone to build a new lifestyle for themselves and create a new possibility for themselves, it's going to be unlikely they're going to stick around for the length of time you need to make real change.
Yeah, agree. So let's shift gears a little bit. So now that our listeners have an idea of sort of what you're about and what your foundation is and a little bit about the personality of Mark Fisher and Mark Fisher Fitness, let's move into the business part. And we'll start, the name of our show is Fun to Fortune Entrepreneur Startup Success Series. I have a firm belief that you should love and be passionate about the work you do, and you should create your work around your life. Tell me, on the business side, you know, and creating this business, what's the fun part for you? So what do you gain joy and satisfaction out of around your business?
Oh, it's a great question. I'm fortunate that I really love almost all the things I have to do with my job, so it might be hard to pin down one element. I know that lately something has become very apparent to me that I've realized is the key to all of this, and I think a lot of why we've been having the success that we have. For me, I'm really challenged and really love the process of really developing sort of the people around me and making sure that MFF is the ideal sort of working environment for the team so that we can do our best jobs of being our best selves for the ninjas. So I think the thing that of late has really become very enjoyable for me is really working to create an environment where people are really authentically inspired to do their best. And we're really lucky because I really can't say enough good things about the team. Like, they're just like the most amazing humans, and every day I'm honored that they've chosen to do this very bizarre thing with us here. and I really, you know, hope to repay that by really, you know, creating the best possible work environment for them. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, that honestly is makes bottom line sense anyway, because I think if you have really engaged, passionate employees that are really inspired to do it because they want to be their best self and because they want to, you know, make an impact on the world, I think that leads to better business.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I mean, you know, one of the things you certainly said there is how can you sort of ask people, your clients that come in, the ninjas, you know, to be this way if your team sort of isn't modeling that, or your
so
sort of
true.
Internal isn't modeling that. One of the
yeah.
things, as a follow-up to that, you know, we've had so many entrepreneurs on this show, and one of the most challenging things for entrepreneurs is hiring the right people and building that team. A lot of times it comes initially from friends and family or, you know, people they just need to sort of – so how did you find, like, you know, what's your approach? How do you hire people, or how do you find the team, or how do you build the team that that becomes that
yeah, –
those people
that's
that work
great
for
question.
You?
Yeah. I mean – to be utterly frank, particularly in the beginning, it was just like ludicrous with good luck, frankly. You know, MFF in many ways started when my best friend from high school approached me to see if I was interested in making this one-on-one thing I had been doing into like a bigger business. And when he first approached me, I was like, no, not really. That sounds kind of hard. I don't know that I would know how to do that. You know, thankfully he won me over. So it really started with the core of, you know, he and I, who, you know, grew up together and had, I think, a shared vision of sort of what we want to do. And the very first two people we got on board are our trainers, Brian and Kyle. Brian, I had known for 10 years, wasn't even in the fitness industry, but Michael met him when we were out, believe it or not, drinking in a strip club, and was like, we need to hire that guy, and then thankfully we did. And then Kyle, amazingly, the other guy we started with, was someone I knew very casually. Just I had met him at the gym several years prior, and he had left to become a trainer on his own. And even though I didn't really know him well, I just knew his sense. There was just something really special about him, that he was a really, really great trainer and just was really doing all the right things in the right way for the right reasons. So, you know, I have to concede with those initial hires, it really was just like the universe just really hooked me up. And since then, I think that one thing we really do is we really do hire, I think, for vision and for passion and for, you know, give a shitness before skill. And another thing we've been lucky, too, that's helped us at this point, because now we're sort of onto like another phase of our development, because our national network has grown the way that it has, we're pretty fortunate that we have access to a lot of the best trainers, even nationally. So at this point, you know, we're lucky and we get resumes kind of from all over the country. So because it's become a competitive place to work, we now are in a position where, in addition to wanting that deep passion, that deep buy-in to this vision of what we're trying to do. We also have the ability to find trainers that have some really deep domain knowledge and are really kick-ass coaches.
Great. Yeah. That's a great story. Also, what's interesting is how it came to be. So a lot of clients that I work with are solo entrepreneurs, I call them, and one of the things that I'm a big believer on is creating an enterprise, following almost like a Zumba model, but not just being as big as Zumba, you know, like thinking
sure.
big, thinking like, wow, my method and the way I do things can be as big as this, because every solo entrepreneur and everyone in fitness has this sort of like, you know, fixed capacity. I can only work with this many people a week and a month, you know.
Right.
But what if I was to be able to share my knowledge and interests and with the world, you know. So I like to think that way. Where was I going? Oh, but it all starts with the collaboration. So it's interesting your friend Michael came to you and really developing that. And another thing most entrepreneurs talk to me about is like I sort of had this secret, you know, I had my business idea, but I really didn't want to share it. And now I realize that like collaboration is key. And the more I collaborate, the more the pie grows for everyone. So that whole collaboration that just sort of happened organically is a huge key. And it sounds like there was some resistance there in the beginning as well.
Yeah, I
for
think
you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very true. I think that, you know, I knew, as has turned out to be true now a couple of years down the road, that if we went on that path, that really my job would not be as much about sort of like the fitness and the training, and it would just be a different job. You know, running a business is different than being a trainer. And I was a little trigger shy, you know, and I knew that I trusted Michael, and I knew that, you know, he was going to bring, you know, a skill set there, but I was just nervous if I was really able to hold up my end of the bargain. But, you know, it's like you said, I think that collaboration for me makes it a lot less scary. I just never feel alone because I feel like that we're all doing it together. Even though, you know, Michael and I are the owners of the company, we're all working together to create this thing. And I would say, quite frankly, Jeff, even to the ninjas, I would say the ninjas have been so much a part of creating what this is. So much of our mythology and our imagery and the words that we use were things that the ninjas really took part in sort of running with. So I'm a big believer that this sort of culture and community we've created is driven as much, if not more, by the ninjas than by the team. You know, in many ways, I look at those of us on the team as really just like, you know, I don't want to make it sound overly precious, but as like shepherds of this sort of shared vision that now these like, you know, 800 plus people have of a different way of approaching fitness and a different way of conducting life and living with fun and authenticity and community.
Yeah. Well, you know, listening to your ninjas is listening to your customers, and a lot of businesses sort of like forget about that, you know, that they are your collaborators. So it sounds like
so
they're as an important component as your team, your management team, and your trainers. So,
yeah, they really are.
So what was most important? Tell us a little bit about for sort of new entrepreneurs or people who, like, you know, don't have a physical location but they're doing training or they have a method they've established. What was important for you to get off the ground and move forward? So how did you go from you know, doing workshops or small classes and renting space to having your own location and then building it sort of into the flagship?
I think there's probably a few different paths one could take. I can say that for mine, a lot of it really happened organically and that, once I knew I was placed where my classes, you know, were selling out within minutes every time I opened up a new round of sessions, it was obvious there was more demand than I could physically hand on. So that sense, it just kind of made sense. And I had, when I first reached out to Kyle, it was just for him to help me with a little bit of spillover. Brian was originally on board to help teach some of the classes with me. And then Michael obviously, you know, in the beginning was theoretically supposed to be doing really what was a few hours of admin work and taking care of some of, like, the office systems for us. And, you know, because of that, each, as we grew, it just sort of organically developed that as the business kept growing to meet the growing demand, we just kept slowly adding people and, you know, spreading out the responsibilities so that the whole team was taking care of what needed to happen to service a growing body of people.
Yeah, great point. A lot of entrepreneurs make the mistake of like, okay, I'm going to build, you know, I'm going to spend a lot of money on a lease and property and fixtures, and if I build it, they will come, which sometimes happens, but a lot of times the better way is to dip your toes in,
sure,
rent space and follow demand, you know. And so I think that you have a higher chance of success doing it that way because it gives you a lot of time to work out the kinks. So for example, if you know you're not quite right or you don't have the right people, you're not paying a huge hefty monthly rent where you're going to run out of cash.
I couldn't agree with you more, Jeff. And that's good. I think that particular approach, although MFF is in brick and mortar space, is very much an approach that a lot of people use in the online space, right? That concept of sort of ooching, where you sort of launch this sort of minimum viable product, or you create perhaps a sales letter for a product that doesn't exist yet. And then based on the demand you get in the market, which you've been able to assess with very little overhead, you can then sort of steer the ship until you found the product that you know really lands with your market.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, the fortune part. We got some fun stuff that you love to do out of you. What has been your fortune? What has come from your effort? When I speak of fortune, I don't mean of money. But from creating this, what are all the things that have come to you in the form of fortune, whether it's relationships, independence, fame, wealth, creation, what do you pinch yourself about?
Gosh, again, I hate to be like a total Pollyanna, but like kind of all of those, I think that, the one that I think that is most powerful for me is that I think I spent a lot of my life with a lot of different interests that were all over and felt, I think, a sort of constant tension in that my interest in fitness and theater and psychology and cognition and personal development, there was really no world in which all of those pieces kind of came together. And for me, I think so much of this experience has been powerful because I've really been able to combine all the things in my life that I love. So in many ways, I'd felt, I don't want to say I feel like a splintered person per se, but there was a sense of living all these different lives and to have an opportunity to do something that really helps other people, that is the culmination of all the things I love most about being a human, is kind of like the best thing that could ever happen to me. So I'll go with
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's great. It's great. I think you have, I don't know if you were on when I was reading the Master of Living quote, but basically you have become a master of living. Yeah.
Awesome.
you didn't maybe know that, but now you know.
Sweet.
So give me a second. I'm just going to, in case most of our listeners listen to the archived version, but if we do have listeners out there live today, if you'd like to call in and ask Mark a question or myself a question, the call-in number is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. So feel free to give us a call. You can ask Mark any question you like, any question. Okay, so where were we here now? Back to
a master of living. I was like, thank you.
Yes, you're a master of living.
Gosh.
You're gonna Google that later. Do you know what that is? Yeah. Okay. So here we are, created this wonderful, cool, zany, over the top, super fun business. All sounds wonderful. Like, sounds so great. Sounds, you know, like, perfect, perfect. Share with the audience some of the challenges and obstacles that you've sort of come up against. And more importantly, because we all, you know, come up, we all have a lot of those, really, how'd you get through them? What kind of support did you have? And how did you sort of, like, turn a challenge into an opportunity, if you will? So, I mean, it's a long-winded question, but take it wherever sort of
Yeah.
to you.
I think, you know, when I think about the challenges we face, I think, you know, I can speak, you know, I think that externally a challenge we faced, or I should say organizationally, is that we've grown as fast as we have. And, you know, as someone who, you know, really prides itself on reading, like, every business book and get my hands on, most business books don't talk a lot about protecting the upside. And, you know, there's very real danger based on the business if you do hit it too quick or too big and you don't have the systems and the staff and the process to handle that, that really can become a threat. So, you know, we've definitely, you know, had moments where it's like, whoa, because we've had, you know, there was 1 month where we grew 50% in like 30 days, which is just, you know, kind of crazy town. And, you know, we, again, have been lucky that, once again, really just relying on the team, just amazing people, that basically everybody just had to sort of pull together and make it happen and take care of people. And I think on the strength of our team, you know, for the most part, we did that without too much of an incident, but it did you know, did make us sort of put in systems and procedures where we had to sort of consider things like, okay, at what point do we have to, like stop and say, no, no more business, we can't add anyone else in. So now we track, because we're pretty close to having probably a wait list for our classes, which, you know, will be a bummer to turn away people, but obviously we'd rather turn away people than sell a service that we really can't provide at the level that we want to provide it. So that certainly was one thing, I think, organizationally. And, you know, I could say for me personally, I've certainly had a journey as far as learning how to work with people in a business environment and how to sort of be a manager and understand how different behavioral styles and different personality types just really need to be taken care of in a different way. And that is something that, you know, I really have spent a lot of time working on. And I think the thing that helped with that, I think the support that I received from that and for the other one was, again, it's just like, I know I'm like a broken record, but it's just the team. It's like the great people around me, and that I have, you know, people that make me feel trusted and supported and take care of me. And, you know, particularly people who have been around here for a long time are really willing to bring to my awareness when there's something I'm doing that's, like, not helping us, you know, which is not an easy thing to do, you know, to bring that awareness to someone and be like, hey, you know, I know you want to be the best, and, you know, here's something that, you know, I think you should be aware of, or your way you're coming across maybe that, you know, is going to probably need to be addressed. And, you know, I'm really lucky that I'm surrounded by people that, you know, love me that much and have that much, like, courage and integrity that they were able to, you know, bring things to my awareness that maybe made me bummed for a moment, but were exactly what I need to hear.
Yeah, well, I think also you're fostering that kind of culture where it's you want that kind of feedback. You always want feedback.
So true.
And you're asking your ninjas and you're asking your team, give me feedback, give us feedback, what's working, what's not working, and being able to sort of, you know, as one of the owners, to receive that and welcome it and use it for opportunities is great. It sounds like, it sounds like the team is so key for your business, sort of, you know, to help you through all these different challenges and obstacles and things that come up.
Yes.
And I know that you use a lot of other sources. I know that you read a lot of books. I think you read two a month or two a week, or where did I read something about that?
Yeah,
on your
I try
blog
to do two or three a week if I can. It doesn't always happen, but
yeah,
that's
I don't
my
know
aim.
Where you get time, but that's great. So our listeners who are like on the fence or getting closer or sort of been like, what resources besides your team, is it friends, family, coaches, books, do you recommend? I don't know if there's a particular one or just sort of a, you know, a combination for them to sort of like, you know, be prepared or get ready or make sure that they have the right resources in place as they move forward through early stage and then getting bigger and then getting bigger and all that kind of stuff. So,
I think that's a great question. I can say that, I can certainly share some books that have been very influential to me and very helpful to me. I mean, certainly one book that I read, like, right out the gate, like, out of the years before I even ever thought I was going to have a business, which I think is kind of a must-read, certainly for anyone planning to have a business where there's more than just one person. It's probably Michael Gerber's E-Myth. At this point in my life, there's definitely, I have, maybe a different perspective on some materials in there, but I think that, some of the trips up, certainly a lot of trainers, when they go into the business for themselves, is they don't, I think, appreciate that, running a business is a different job than being a trainer, and it will require a different set of skill sets, a different set of job responsibilities, and I think that book does a pretty good job of laying that out. Another book that really, really changed my life, and is probably the reason why I've finally sort of submitted to making it into a business. There's a book called Delivering Happiness that's written by Tony Hsieh, who is the CEO of Zappos. And that was the book that really kind of blew my head open. And the core few of us that, started MFF together read that book, like right as we were getting things going. And it's really a story about how they created a, weird, fun culture that, people just kind of, they dealt with a lot of struggles and there were a lot of things they had to figure out as they went along, but they basically just made the business they always wanted to have, and they created the work environment that I think everyone wants to have. Because one thing I'll say that's always interesting to me is I just feel like everybody wants a good work environment, right? Like, I feel like everyone wants a job where they can be appreciated for their what they bring to the table, and they're encouraged to be creative and be uniquely them and bring whatever is, like, special about them to the table. And I think that that's certainly what we try to do with MFF, and I think that that book and an understanding of the way a business culture could really improve the quality of people's lives was the one that inspired me to be like, all right, okay, let's do this.
Yeah, he just did a great interview in Success Magazine, the CDs. I'm like a big fan of their, I never drive, but when I do, I take my Success Magazine CDs, and he talked about the book, and he's great. So I haven't read the book, but it sounds wonderful. What about mentors, coaches, advisors, other people that or other resources that are that people can reach out to?
Yeah, I think, I think depending on the person, I think there are a few options. I will say that I really, this is kind of like weird, but because like I read so much, I on some level have to say that I really look at a lot of like the authors and the writers and the business writers in the world, like in some ways that's sort of my mentor. But, obviously nothing replaces conversation, right? And there's a unique thing when you're dealing with someone that like knows you, that is invested in you, that can also be a part of that feedback process. I'm sounding crazy, but I feel like in many ways, like the people on my team and the ninjas have sort of taught me a great deal. I think a more, traditional mentor figures, I've been lucky to sort of, as we've grown, I've been able to find some people that are really, amazing and powerful people that really sort of inspire me, that have been really great source of support and guidance and counsel for me. Someone who comes to mind immediately is Jerry Mitchell, who is a Broadway director and choreographer that we worked with from before we even had the Clubhouse. And he's just been such a, source of not only support for what we're doing, but such a role model to me of someone who succeeds in his life by just, like, kicking ass, working his ass off, doing what he wants to do in a way that's authentic to him, and never being an asshole to anyone. He's just, like, a great guy, having a blast and working his butt off, doing what he loves, what feels good to him. Yeah. And, I think it's been a very powerful influence on my life.
Yeah, well, a couple things on that is what's amazing is having someone, and when I start working with new clients, one of the things I ask them is who inspires you, and I really want them to look at different people that inspire them, because that's what I do. I look at people, wow, look at what they created. How cool is that? What do I need to get near there or to aspire to that? And I agree, Jerry Mitchell is so amazing. he just creates and continues to create. And what is a beautiful thing about Yissed is he just does what he wants and he loves. A lot of entrepreneurs get stuck on what other people think.
Right.
And totally, like, once or a couple times they get shot down by friends or family or people think their idea is stupid, and then it's, like, done. And it's really, you know, that's something that I work with a lot on, you know, your gremlin and the inner critic.
Sure.
But it's sort of, like, really pushing through that, that, you know, believing that if this is something I'm interested in, something I believe in, I have to believe that there are other people that feel the same way. And it's not
it's
maybe
so
the
true.
People that I just mentioned it to, you know, so to really push through this. So I think it, having someone who inspires you and looking up to someone and even, you know, I like to call it stalking them online. What are they up to? What are they doing? You know, what kind of things are they creating? You know, if you can get in front of them and have a meeting with them and bring them on as your mentor, advisee, or whatever, it's great. But if you can't, just follow them. Read their books and follow what they're up to and follow their path and just use that as inspiration. So that's a really good thing. That's so awesome. Okay, so we're getting towards the end of our session, unfortunately, show together. What advice, there's so many nuggets in what you've already said, but what advice can you share with other entrepreneurs thinking of starting a fitness-based business, you know, based on your experience? What have you learned that they can possibly avoid, or what is the, you know, number one or number two thing that they should really sort of focus on to build what may be like a personal training practice or one-on-one training or something they're doing, developing, but really to get it, you know, moving forward. So what kind of advice can you give them?
Yeah, I think there's two things that come to mind. You know, the first one I think is just to, once again, reemphasize that point, because it is a mistake that I see a lot of, maybe not a mistake they make, but I think it's presents an opportunity for a lot of trainers that start their own business, is confusing, you know, running a business with being a trainer. You know, that I think a lot of trainers, unfortunately, sometimes think when they run a business, it'll be great because then they can just, you know, train all day long and then they'll get 100% of the money, when in fact, you know, your job becomes like, you know, a manager and you know, I think if you're doing right to some extent, like a mentor and a mom and a counselor for sort of all the people in your business, to really sort of empower them to do what they need to do to succeed. And then the other point, I think, goes back to really how you sort of started our chat, which is that fitness and training, I think more and more too, as we're moving along here, is going to be a lot more just an understanding of the way, you know, fitness variables are going to affect someone's physiology, right? Fitness, I think, you know, is not, I think the days of like just being good at fitness are, it's going to be harder and harder to really make a powerful impact and really make a great living doing that. And quite frankly, I think that extends even if you're doing one-on-one training. But certainly, I think if you're looking to run a business and if you happen to be in a competitive market, like say like a New York City or the online space, frankly, there's got to be something that, you know, differentiates you in some way. And I think that for a lot of people, if you can just appreciate, you know, that fitness is really about a lot more than the training element and find ways to really add service and really take care of people, I think that for a lot of people is going to be kind of the key going forward. Because I know a lot of amazing trainers that I love and I think are wonderful trainers, and they're such teachers to me that I've learned a lot from them. But I think are definitely more interested in the exercise science part and are not necessarily as interested in the interpersonal stuff. And I think that however is authentic to that person, I think success will come out of really owning that, you know, the interpersonal stuff is going to be 90% of it, not only from a business perspective, but from a making real transformative change with people perspective.
Mm, yeah, brilliant. Really great advice. That is spot on. One more question, two more questions, actually. So I love your website. I love the photos. Is the photo of you with the rainbow hat and the unicorn, is that you?
The photo of me with a rainbow hat?
It's like a, oh, sorry, it's like a baseball cap.
Oh, no, I think,
rainbow
yeah,
colors.
I think that's Kyle. That's Kyle.
That
no,
is
I wish
the
that were me. Yeah.
Photos I've ever seen. I love it. There's just something.
Yeah, we may or may not have been tricking that photo shoot. Yeah. That was a good time.
So, I was wondering if that was you and how that came about, but in any case, it's great. I think everyone listening, please definitely check out the markfisherfitness.com website. It's just great. You could spend hours on there just getting laughing, seeing some great photos, seeing how Mark works, seeing before and after results. A great place to and it's a good preface for me. So, Mark, how do people find you? Where do they find you? Where's your location? How do they sign up for a class?
Yeah, I mean,
what's
certainly
your website, all that. What's
great
next?
Question. Yeah, I think you know the first place to find this online is at www.markfisherfitness.com. Certainly, you know, you can find all our other homes there. If you're in New York City, you know, I think the best thing you can do is definitely come and check us out, the Enchanted Ninja Clubhouse of Glory and Dreams, which is on West 39th Street, right in Midtown. So it's 39th. Between 9th and 10th. And then, of course, we have all the social media homes. They could follow me on at M Fisher Fitness, and they could check us out on our Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/Mark Fisher Fitness.
Okay, great. Well, I want to thank you so much for kicking off Fit Business February with us here on Fun to Fortune Entrepreneur Success Series. What a great way to start. And thank you for sharing insights and your story and how your business came about. We wish you like the best of everything in 2014 and continued success.
My pleasure, Jeff. Same to you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Stay warm up there in the frozen twins of New York City.
I'm going to stay in a snuggie all day.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Mark. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jeff. You too.
Take care. All right, listeners, so we just heard from Mark Fisher of Mark Fisher Fitness, which is really a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful business, great enterprise, a really great approach, and one that you should be embracing if you are thinking to expand your reach and the way you train people. It is not just about muscles. It is mind and muscles today. It is about training the whole body. It is about growth, transformation that everyone is seeking. So if your old school gym model isn't quite cutting it, look at Mark Fisher for a model. Contact Mark Fisher and just see sort of what his approach is. Maybe it's a little too on one end of the spectrum for you, but taking actually the components of what he is doing and how is it working with people are right spot on. So I highly recommend that anyone in the fitness business take a look at Mark Fisher Fitness. Contact me, contact Mark if you need help. This is where you can reach me. If you're just tuning in, you're tuning in to the Fun to Fortune Entrepreneur Success Series on blogtalkradio.com. This is part of the Life Coach Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook. You could follow us on Twitter. If you'd like to call in, give us a ring at 646-716-9397. My name is Jeff Volinsky, and I am the show host of the series every other week on Blog Talk Radio, Life Coach Radio Network. You can reach me at www.javelin.com or www.jeffvolinsky.com. That's JeffVolinsky.com. Or find me on Facebook at Javelin Creative Events and Workshops. Every other week, I will have a guest entrepreneur on this show who created a fun business. And together, we will inspire, inform, educate, and blaze a trail for others through sharing what they do, how they did it, and what help and resources they founded to assist them on their fun to fortune path. Thank you for tuning in. please join again in 2 weeks for Fitness Business February, Fit Biz February, where we will have another few amazing fitness entrepreneurs who have created fun businesses and are out to change the world and the people, starting with the people around them, person by person, muscle by muscle, mind cell by mind cell. And thank you for tuning in. Have a wonderful day. And we will see you again in 2 weeks. Thanks to Mark Fisher and MarkFisherFitness.com for being on our show today.